Morning. Welcome to Midway Church of Christ. Let's open our morning worship with a word of prayer together. Lord, we humbly bow before you, and we thank you for this gathering and this body of believers. It's important for us as Christians to meet together in person, if possible, on the first day of the week as a matter of first importance to get our week started off in the right direction. As we start this morning's service, we ask you to please bless us and bless Russell as he brings a lesson from your word to us. Bless the men that are serving this morning. Please have our thoughts focused on you and Russell's lesson this morning. We ask you also to bless our country and our leaders. And we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for his sacrifice that allows us to be with you in heaven one day. In his name we pray. Amen.
Okay, today's scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, No, it is the Lord who called these three kings to give into the hand of the Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you nor see you. But now bring me a magician. And when the magician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, Thus says the Lord, I will make this dry stream bed full of pools. For thus says the Lord, You shall not see wind or rain, but that stream bed shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, you, your livestock, and your animals. This is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also give the Moabites into your hand, and you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop up all the springs of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. The next morning, about the time of offering the sacrifice, behold, the water came from the direction of Edom till the country was filled with water.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
How do you solve your problems? It's an important question. When you're in trouble, how do you get out of trouble? There was a mother who was talking to one of her friends, and she said, I'm having a lot of trouble. My kids are constantly busy. They're always screaming and pestering each other. And I just can't get any time to myself, and I don't know what to do. And she said, what you need to do is you need to go buy a playpen so that you can separate yourself from your kids. So a few weeks later, her friend contacted her and said, how are you doing with your kids? Did you get a playpen? She said, yes, I got a playpen. I get in it with a good book, and it solved the problem. The kids leave me alone. Well, they're all over the house causing havoc. So maybe that wasn't the best solution to a problem, but it was an attempt. Sometimes we do things to solve the problem and it works. Sometimes we do things that don't work out so well. The text we're going to be looking at this morning in 2 Kings chapter 3 is a story of people who had problems. There was a king that was upset because another ruler did not honor his agreement in a treaty, and that was a problem. He thought he had a solution, and so he went to confront that problem. And then as they went, they got into a problem and had to come up with a solution. That's one of the threads that run through the story. The other morning, I got up and I was in our bedroom, and I came out into the living room. I had gotten back from running, and Ava was sitting behind the coffee table, and she had these two condiments in her hands, and she was sticking them in her mouth. And when I first saw it, I thought, vitamin deficiency. And Dee Dee's on the couch looking at her. I'm thinking, what's going on? Why is she sucking out of the mustard and ketchup bottle? And quickly, I saw chocolate milk on the side of her face and realized she had water in one and chocolate milk in the other, and she was drinking them. So I began to ask her, what's in them? And I was guessing, you know, pickle juice and prune juice and, you know, getting all kinds of answers. And we played through that game. But what it appeared at first was not the case. It was something else. That's another thread that will run through these stories. People thought that they were going in the right direction, but they were going the wrong direction. They thought they had a solution, but it wasn't the real solution. They got a solution that they, most of us would think would be a little bit ridiculous. People looked at things the wrong way. And it's important, especially when you're dealing with God, to understand that sometimes things may not be as they seem. It's a powerful story. If you remember it from reading through Scripture, there King Mesha, who is a Moabite king, had an agreement with Ahab. One interesting thing about this text, if you want to take the time to look it up, is there was an archaeological find by F.A. Klein in 1868 that he found this archaeological discovery of a Moabite stone. And it's written communication from Mesha, this king, and it is connected to this particular chapter. It's in the Louvre. It's a very great biblical archaeological find. But if you want to do some extra investigation, you can do that. But Mesha had an agreement with Ahab that he would pay him on a regular basis 100,000 sheep and 100,000 the wool of 100,000 rams. But when Ahab died, he decided, I'm not going to do that anymore. And when his son came to power, there's a king of Israel at this time, he wanted to attack Mesha and get him to do what he was supposed to do. And because he hadn't honored the agreement, he wanted to get even. So Jehoram goes out and he gathers all the people of Israel. But he also gets Jehoshaphat, who is a king in Judah. And so far, we've got the bad and the good. When I was a kid, when I heard this story, it's about Jehoram, who is a bad king, Jehoshaphat, who is a good king that makes some bad judgment calls, and they also go through Edom and they get the king of Edom. And so when preachers would tell this story, I thought it was kind of about the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? But these three kings are going to go to war against Moab. Now, Moab is east of the bottom part of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a dead lake. It flows in, nothing flows out. Salt water. The area around it is desert. And so they travel for 7 days and they find themselves in the middle of the desert with nowhere to turn. And if you're in the desert and you're out of water and you're thirsty, you are stuck. They thought they had the right approach, but it wasn't the right approach. They thought that they could go against the enemy, march, and conquer them, but they thought wrong. And sometimes when we make plans, God will frustrate those plans because He has a greater lesson to teach us. And what He wants to teach them is, you need to depend on Me, not on yourself. They should have acknowledged God. They should have gone before God and said, we have an enemy. But they didn't do that. Their approach was different. And God is going to discipline them and teach them some lessons through this experience. And so they're stuck. First of all, the bad king, Jehoram, he says, we're going to get defeated. We're out here. And he began to blame God. Do you ever, things don't work out the way you think they should, and you say, it's all God's fault. We're out here. We're not going to survive. Jehoshaphat, the good king that makes some bad judgment calls because he associated with bad company. Evil companions corrupt good morals. He connected himself and said, hey, you're like me. So my men are your men, my horses are your horses. Let's go out and fight together. Bad decision. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He was a good king, but he connected himself to a bad king, and he got himself in a bad situation. Sometimes you think you're doing good, but you're not. Things aren't always as they seem. But Jehoshaphat says, is there a prophet? So he has the right approach. When you're in trouble, look to God. Lean on God. Seek God. And so everybody tells him, yeah, there is a prophet. His name is Elisha. He washed the hands of Elijah. So last week we looked at the call of Elisha. Elisha, for 6 years, has been following and serving Elijah. And he was washing the hands of Elijah. And they say, he's a prophet. And Jehoshaphat said, hey, this is our ticket. Let's go. So the three kings go to visit Elisha. And when Elisha sees him, Jehoram says, starts to speak with him, and he said, why are you coming to me? You've avoided God. You didn't call on God. Now you're coming to me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, the good king, I wouldn't either see you, I wouldn't pay any attention to you, but since Jehoshaphat is with you, I'll bring you the word of the Lord. Bring me a musician. So they bring a musician. He begins to play some music. I don't know what he's saying, but he wanted something to get him in the right frame of mind to receive the Lord. Elisha wants this. And the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, I will deliver you. I want you to dig some ditches. Now, you're in the middle of the desert. You're thirsty. You're grumpy. You got all these military people. And you're in the desert and somebody tells you to start digging. I mean, who thinks that's a good solution? Who thinks that will be a popular solution? And so he says, dig ditches. And you're not going to see any rain, and you're not going to feel any wind, but I'm going to flood this place. And I'm going to deliver Moab to you, and I want you to go, and I want you to destroy their cities. I want you to destroy the fortified cities. I want you to take the choice cities. I want you to take and destroy everything. I want you to cut off the water supplies from them. I want you to take stones and stone the ground so that it won't produce. I want to teach them a lesson because they have stood up against God and they're going to be judged. And they do exactly what Elisha says. And when they offer the grain offering the next day, the water comes. And they see salvation. They see deliverance. They see God supply what they needed. It seemed kind of like a ridiculous plan. Go dig ditches. But in faith, they did what God said and God delivered. The Moabites get up and they don't see the same thing. The Israelites see water that they can drink and their animals can drink. The Moabites get up and they see the same water from the other side and they see something different. It looks like blood in the water. And so they say to themselves, God, for some reason, God's people over there who claim to be God's people, they've turned on each other. These three kings must have turned on each other and they're no more because there's blood in the water. So they go to check it out and the Israelites get up and they beat the fire out of them and the battle is won. They thought it looked one way, but it was another way. This story is about how we solve troublesome times, how we deal with difficult times. It's a fascinating story. Remember, some things aren't always as they seem. And some solutions that God gives us might not make a lot of sense to us, but when He speaks, we need to follow. So this morning I want us to look at three steps to escape troublesome times from this text. First of all, seek the Lord with a dependent heart. Seek the Lord with a dependent heart. God wanted them to depend on Him. And so He's going to deliver them, but they had to seek Him. They didn't start off that way. They said, we're going to go beat the Moabites. They thought they could do it on their own. They didn't ask for God's help. And they found out that's not the right way to approach life. When you make decisions, acknowledge God. When you make decisions, pray. When you're in trouble, seek God. But you can avoid a lot of trouble in your life if you'll just acknowledge God and seek Him first. Because that is what God wants. God loves it when we pray, Father, I don't know what to do. I need Your help. Because He wants us to depend on Him. The German theologians have this concept of God is pathos. He's a suffering God. He created us. He wants a relationship with us. And it hurts Him when we don't commune with Him, fellowship with Him, go to Him. It breaks God's heart. When you try to do everything on your own, I'll make my own decision about this. That's not what God wants. God wants you to lean on Him. When you were baptized, you were basically saying, I'm not going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to ask myself, what does God think? What does God want? If you think you can do it on your own, you're going to end up with busted up knuckles and frustration. You're going to beat your head up against the wall, and you're not going to get anywhere because God's not going to let you because He wants you to depend on Him. Jesus Himself said in the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know, and He gives all those different things that we ask for. What's one thing He says? Give us this day our daily bread. He wants us every day to say, God, give us our daily bread. Even though we can go to the store and the shelves are full of stuff, He wants me to acknowledge everything I have is because God blesses me with it, and without Him, I'd be nothing. God wants me to depend on Him. Simple and true. And sometimes we get too big for our spiritual britches, and we think we can make our own decisions. And when we start doing that, we're going to fail. You're going to make plans, and God's going to laugh. They made plans, and they found themselves in a hole that they couldn't get out of. And one king said, where's the prophet? Let's seek God. But what's interesting in the story is that Jehoram, he blames God. In verse 10, he says, and the king of Israel said, at last, for the Lord has called us these three kings together to deliver them from Moab. And he began to complain about the situation. Sometimes people begin to blame God for their circumstances. He wanted to get even with the king of Moab, but they found themselves in a deep hole. And oftentimes, we do the same thing. We blame God for the circumstances that we get into. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get into trouble and you say, why did God do this to me? Why is God this making this happen? When what we have to do is, we have to look for God. He's the solution. So Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet here that we may inquire of the Lord? And they tell him about Elisha, and they go to seek his word. When you're in trouble, the first step is seeking God. Look for God. Because when you look for God, you're looking for the God of the impossible. You're looking for the God that can solve the problem. You're looking for the God that does unbelievable things. He can do exceedingly abundantly far above all we ask or imagine because of his power that is at work within us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Seek God. Secondly, let's look at this one more time. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? One of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Zarephath, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat, P-H-A-T instead of F-A-T, the word of the Lord is with him. O king of Israel, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So the second point is, listen to God's message with an open heart. He gives them the message. I want you to dig ditches. You're not going to see rain or feel the wind. And then I want you to take the enemy. I want you to plunder their cities. I want you to cut off their water supply. I want you to ruin their land. That was his message. When you seek God and he speaks, when he says it, that settles it. And he said to them, I want you to go and dig ditches. It seemed like a ridiculous request. The world was in sin and God was going to destroy it. And he tells Noah, I want you to build an ark. It didn't make a lot of sense to everybody that was watching. But that is what God told him to do. The Israelites, I want you to go around the walls of Jericho around 7 days, seven times, and each day, I want you to go around Jericho on the seventh day. I want you to go around it seven times, blow your horns, and the walls will fall down. They simply obey God, and the walls came down. And look at all the stories of the Bible. God sometimes gives some requests that don't make sense. All he wants the person to do is seek him, listen to him, and obey him. Do what he says. Elisha will have another circumstance when Naaman the leper comes to him and says, cleanse me. Take my leprosy away. He says, go down the Jordan River and dip seven times and your leprosy will go away. And he didn't like that. I don't want to go down to the nasty Jordan and dip in that river. He didn't want to do it. It didn't seem right. He was a general in the army and he wanted Elisha just to make it go away. Sometimes we read the Bible and you might not like what it says. Guess what? You need to dig your ditch. Just do what God says. Dig the ditch, which is the final point. Look at the message. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. And the valley will be filled with water so that your cattle and your animals may drink. This is a simple matter. What a cool statement. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. When we think something is so desperate and dire and difficult and there's no way out and we can't believe we're there and we're about to give up all hope, we need to remember it is a simple matter for the Lord. When we think something is impossible, it's possible with God. Because as long as God is God, there is hope. This virus thing has been nuts. But it's a simple thing for the Lord. Put your trust in Him. What a message. This is a simple thing. I don't hear many people that come and talk to me about their problems saying, I want to tell you about all my problems. I know it's a simple thing. And I don't even respond to trouble that way. But it's a simple thing for the Lord. Dig a ditch with an obedient heart. Are you digging your ditches? Husbands, love your wives. Are you digging your ditch? Children, obey your parents. Are you digging your ditch? If you want to be a Christian, be baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins. Have you dug your ditch? If somebody's in sin, go to them and confront them. Are you digging your ditch? If you're at odds with someone and they've offended you, did you go make peace? Are you digging your ditch? Give as the Lord has given to you with a cheerful heart. You digging your ditch? Only you know the answers to those questions. But the question is, am I doing what God is asking me to do? If someone treats you bad, love your enemies, bless them, and do not curse. Are you digging your ditch? Someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other one as well? Or do you want to get even? Dig your ditch. It means to obey the Lord with an obedient heart. That's what God's looking for. If we have all the people that are in this auditorium today and we're constantly looking in our Bibles and we see what God says and we just go do it without question, we just do it. We march around the city. The walls will come down. We dig our ditch. The water will come. Sometimes God cannot bless us because we're not digging our ditch. There's God's part and there's our part. God has always got our back. God has always got the power. God has always got the ability. I can't believe how bad our country is. I don't know what we're going to do. Everything is so bad. And we just sit there, you know, like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, all nervous about everything, when we forget it's a simple thing for God. Maybe we just need to get on our knees and start lifting everything up to Him and trust the fact that He's got the water. He needs me to be digging the ditch. Amen, lights. Am I digging the ditch? It's a simple lesson, isn't it? I love simple. And why is it so important? Because the message of the Bible is the God of the impossible. And nowhere better is it said when the story is told of the angel that comes and talks to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. And Elizabeth, even though she's barren, she's going to have a child. John the Baptist and Jesus are going to be born, but you're not going to be pregnant from your husband. And she's barren and she's going to have a child. It seemed impossible what he was saying. And he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. And she said, here I am, a bridesmaid. Do it. Do we believe in the God of the impossible? And when we're in trouble, do we turn to God in these ways? With a dependent heart, with an open heart, with an obedient heart. Do we seek the Lord, listen to God's message, and dig the ditch? In Proverbs 3, he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. No matter where you're at, you could be like Jonah in the bottom of the ocean with seaweed wrapped around your head, and a big fish swallow you up. God's got you. You could be in a worldwide flood. God had Noah and his family. You can be in the middle of the desert with no water, and God, if you acknowledge Him, if you seek Him and listen to Him and obey Him, He will make marvelous things happen. Do we trust the God that can do the impossible? Things aren't always as they seem. But when you approach God the right way, it'll all be clear. I hope that in our lives, we will always look and listen and obey. And if you need to do that by becoming a Christian today, we invite you to as we sing.
And there'll be a little bit of tempo changes on this, so keep an eye on me. On Zion's glory. Nope. Sorry. I made a mistake. I apologize. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb. And bow before the great I am. And bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, host on high adored, like me thy praise should sing, O Almighty King. Holy, holy, have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet? Felt the endless thundering motion? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever stood at the sunset with the sky mellowing red? Seen the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever stood at the cross with the man hanging in pain? Seen the look of love in his eyes? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. take a look, open your eyes, he'll show it to you.
Passover feast was something that had been in time ever since the Jews had left the land of Israel. Once a year they would take this feast. Time rolls on and it comes to the time when Jesus is with his 12. They have participated in this special feast. At the end of that feast, the apostles are given a very special request. He takes the bread and he tells the apostles to think of this as my body. And he gives it to them, and they eat the bread. So let us at this time pray for that particular thing. Father, we thank you for Christ, the life that he led, the example that he gave, and the way that the path that he gave us for eternal life. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us as we partake of the bread, that it will nourish our spiritual hearts and cause us to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made. In his name we pray. Amen. Then he took fruit of the vine, and he said to them, and I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, because I want to stress one important point. He says, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Think of those last words, for the forgiveness of sins. So whenever we take of this blood, we need to remember of this fruit of the vine. We need to remember it is a promise that our sins will be forgiven. So let us now partake of the fruit of the vine.
We want to thank everyone who is watching us online and who are here in the building for continuing to support the work here at Midway with your contributions. They can continue to be mailed in or dropped off or given in the box out in the back foyer. We want to have a special prayer for that as the Lord blesses our work here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us to be gathered together, and thank you for the blessings and the opportunities that you give us to provide for our families and to provide for families that we may not ever meet, and the work that the church does here in this community. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give to that work, and we ask that you bless the funds and bless the hands that it goes through, that they distribute it to the places and the people that need it the most. We thank you for this service, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Strengthen us and encourage us this week until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.